Today we are going to be continuing and we're going back into our series of transformed living and our emotional health. Matter of fact, we're probably going to land on this for probably several weeks. I'm excited to move into this. I've anticipated the response of just what God wants to do and bring healing into our midst, emotional healing, emotional deliverance. These are one of the things that I believe that we battle, and when I think about this, I think of God's redemptive, amazing work, because you learn something. Everyone has emotional scars. Every one of us has injury from the past. I mean, just think junior high. Anyone who has survived junior high knows what I'm talking about. Emotional wounds are interesting because they're harder to heal than physical wounds. And when I think of a physical wound, I think of, you know, depending upon the wound, they can heal in days, weeks, even months, and we can see it's something that's there. But emotional injuries are different, and I discovered that often emotional injuries take years and decades to heal. And sometimes the thing that we forget is God does a miraculous work over the process of time, and that the end result is as much of a miraculous healing as anything else. I hope that you would recognize that a lot of what God does, and you know, we shoot ourselves in the foot by somehow hoping for an instantaneous, spontaneous, miraculous, at that moment healing. You know, God does those things. There are times when people come forward and you meet God at the altar and you walk away and it is all different. We shared a lot of those testimonies at Easter, and we have seen that time and time again. But we've also shared the testimonies with you of people who have walked the journey. Because I've discovered it's as much of a miracle for someone to walk through the journey of God's healing and 10 years later look back and realize, wow, I am a different person. Just the miracle of being able to stay steadfast and let God, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, bring a restorative, redemptive work in a human being is absolutely amazing. And again, one of the reasons why we shoot ourselves in the foot, so to speak, is because if it doesn't happen quickly, then somehow we think God doesn't love us, or that somehow God doesn't want to do a work in us. And that's just not true. I'm convinced that a lot of people are hurt towards God and the church because we have made statements and we've communicated things that just are not in healthy balance. And as much as I'm with you, I want to come forward and walk away and be done. Who wants to do the work? Who wants to allow process to take place? But that's exactly what God, I mean, just look at all of the Word of God and you see that happening over and over and over again. And I've learned something, that Jesus comes to heal emotional wounds. You know, Psalm 147 reminds us of the mission, that He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. That's what our God comes to do. And we need to allow the Spirit of God to work in our lives in such a miraculous way that He can heal the past hurts. He can heal the pain. And in some instances, God can heal your brain. I've learned to pray not only for all the spiritual things, emotional things, I've learned to pray physically for God to do a miraculous work in rewiring the neural pathways of your brain. And when that were to take place, miracles happen. Because some of you have damaged pathways. I mean, there's such a numerous number of options that you and I can become open to the reality of what is it that is working in us, spiritual, physical, emotional, relational, that Jesus would come with a mission. And He reminds us, Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Can you say amen to that? And then He said something crazy, and you shall even do greater things. The mission that Jesus declared in Luke 4, as he spoke out of Isaiah, is the church's mission. Because what Jesus does, we do. Can you say amen to that? So when I think about emotional wounds and I think of the injuries and think of how the Holy Spirit heals people, you can improve and strengthen your emotional health in the same way that you can strengthen your bodies and make them stronger. You know, the Word of God tells us that. There's a couple things, and over these next several weeks, I want to share a number of things. I got to tell you, I wish there's a part of me I'd like to land on this for about a year with you, because there is so much for us to communicate on. But I feel very comfortable in the next several weeks for what God's going to do and speak to us. But let's start with some basic things. Number one, we need to reveal and bring to light our injuries. One of the things that I've learned in working with people is the fact is you will not, let me be clear, you will not experience healing, emotional healing, until you are willing to face the woundedness. As long as we hide Lee's injuries, you will not get better. As long as you bury and keep hidden what's going on and do not do what we're about to talk about over these next several weeks, I want to be clear, you're not going to get better. And the expectation of improvement is unrealistic. God's Word has really made it clear what needs to happen and what can happen. Psalms, Proverbs, statements by, there's so many amazing statements by Jesus that just reinforce all of the things we're looking at. Psalm 139, powerful, powerful statement. Lord, this is David talking, you've examined my heart and you know everything about me. Can you say amen to that? That is good news. And that is not so good news. He knows everything about you. There's nothing hidden from God. And do you know what's amazing? Some of you act like it's actually not known by God. Your behavior, your thoughts, your actions sort of reveal the testimony that you really think that God doesn't know everything about you. And that somehow he isn't looking at you, isn't concerned about you, isn't right there watching all this that's going on. How different would things be if he was right there as I'm standing here, standing in front of you as you did what you did, say what you say, wrote what you wrote? It would be different. But we're under this amazing illusion. The fact is, he knows everything. You know, how much more detail can you get? This is why we know it's even about the little things. I had someone say, but God doesn't care about the little things. I want you, God cares about every little thing in your life. God loves me enough to give me a parking space in Seattle. That is how I know God loves me. He says, you know when I sit down or when I stand up. I mean, we're talking about the Hebrew idea here is that even the little things, you know my thoughts. Oh, even when I'm far away, you see me when I travel, when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. Someone said to me, well, that's why I don't have to pray. I want you to know that is not a scriptural basis for not praying. Oh, crazy. You go before me and follow me. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. That's a very powerful statement. It reminds us that really it's so critical that if we're going to get better, that we bring to light the emotional woundedness that we've had, the injuries, the hurts, the pains. Because really what the psalmist is writing here and saying, and we're going to see a little bit more in a few moments, that this is critical stuff. And yet some of us walk around as if somehow our wounds are hidden. I was talking to someone today who's carrying around a lot of woundedness. Matter of fact, you can see it. I've asked him if he wouldn't mind testifying to some of his woundedness, and He's one of our interns. Chris, can you come on up? And I wanted you to, you know, have him come forward. He's going to walk right down the middle here, and he's going to talk about his woundedness that maybe you might even just notice it and see it in him or on him. I don't know if you would or not. This is not a remake of Scrooge, by the way. How's it going, Chris? You know, hey, but you want to be careful of your woundedness there. You're bumping into people with your woundedness. Look, you just hit someone's foot, and you, look at that. You got to be careful. Man, look at all this woundedness here. Come on up. No, don't help him with his woundedness. That's his job. If he can't get up, then that's too bad, you know? I mean, he doesn't want any help. I mean, it's only 30 pounds, 50 pounds with the chain of woundedness, right? Praise God. Where are you going? Come up here, Chris. So you feel a little weighed down?
You know, it's actually fairly uncomfortable.
Yes. So I asked Chris about an hour ago to put these on and wear them the whole time. How many of you even noticed him with this? Anyone notice him? See, we think we hide our woundedness, and yet you see it all around, don't you?
Well, actually, I had quite a few funny looks, and I just to let you know, I felt really ashamed and somewhat guilty for no reason, really. I mean, it's not my fault.
Well, you look ridiculous.
That is true, but at least
I mean, how often do we, you know, you walk around with chains? But isn't this, I want you to see that this is what happens when you carry around and hide your emotional pain and woundedness. It's a 10-pound anchor. And can you imagine, as you can see, just trying to navigate with this, trying to get through life with this? And what's amazing is that's exactly how a lot of us live life, is we try to navigate with, I mean, what does an anchor do? It holds you back. Some of you are being held back because of what injury has occurred, and yet you walk around with chains and anchors, and you live years and decades this way, and God says, I've come to bring you freedom. I've come to deliver you. Well, Chris, today's not the day. So I'm going to let you go back. Take your woundedness with you, please. Just be careful you don't hurt anyone with your woundedness there. Can we give Chris a God bless you for all that hard work? I want to be clear that the fact is, sweeping under the proverbial carpet, ignoring them, pretending they don't exist, is not going to bring you health. You are not going to get, I want to be clear, you are not going to get better. The only thing that's going to happen is that, I mean, can you imagine if he really was carrying this around? Let's say you had to carry 30 pounds of anchors and 10 pounds of chain with you for the next decade. What's going to happen? It's going to create distortion and dysfunction. You're probably going to be bent over. You're going to have all kinds of hurt and pain in your joints, in your back, in your legs, because Chris's body, no human being is designed to carry that. And nor is it God's design for you to carry around the emotional hurt and weight. It's the same thing. You know, I understand. It's crazy, isn't it? We live in a world of sin. And there isn't a one of us in this room that have not been hurt or injured by someone. And here's a sad truth. I mean, as simple as it is, I've discovered this truth. Hurting people hurt people. And so how is it that we can overcome and hurt people less? Get better. because of your not willing to experience the health and healing of God, you're hurting people. You're banging into them with your anchors. You're injuring people with the things, because that's exactly how this stuff takes place. We abuse, we neglect, we injure one another. You know, one of the fastest growing emotional problems in the world today is anxiety disorders. If you look at all the things that are going on, more people today in the world we live in, because of stress, because of what we're talking about, we are seeing huge growth in anxiety. And a lot of people are, again, ignoring what's going on because of how they try to deal with it. You know, another, it's interesting, I'm talking to more and more people who have this comorbid issue that is going on, social phobia. You know, it's kind of interesting, a lot of people are afraid to be around people. And so here's how we're compensating. Media, social media, you know, Facebook, email, all, because that way we don't have to breathe the same air with people. And that way we can control what's going on. We can navigate and we can be in charge of what comes in and what goes out. We are fast living in a world that is afraid. So we take our negative emotional reactions, woundedness, and here's how we live it out. You know how we live it out? We try to put it out of sight. We try to put it out of our mind. We try to ignore it, run from it, escape from it, medicate it, stop it, and hide it. I mean, it's kind of, I think one of the biggest problems is that so many of us take these kinds of things and we stuff it and we swallow it and we ingest it. And this is why a lot of us have stomach aches, heartaches, headaches, and soul aches. So you want to get better, you want to become healthy, then you need to become honest and vulnerable about your pain. There's no other way. There is no other way to deal with this. We either need, it's just time to come clean with our bitterness, our resentment, our abuse, our neglect, our anger, our disappointment, our fear, our insecurity. We need to come clean and be a people that are willing to reveal what we're feeling, what we're thinking, what's going on inside of us, because that is the beginning of healing. I want to see every one of us experience healing and become healthy. I believe that is a worthy goal in any community. So you got to be honest. And you know who you need to be honest with, number one? Yourself. You need to come clean with yourself, admit that you are hurting, admit that there is shame, admit there is pain and fear. And then number two, you got to go to talk to God. You got to say, God, I need to talk to you. I need to tell you how I feel. God, I need to dump on you. I need to vent on you, God. And I've got good news for you. God can handle it. But at some point, you and I need to come clean and let him grieve with us. Let him hurt with us. Let him walk us through this. And that only happens when you talk to him. It's amazing what happens when you admit to yourself what's going on and then talk to God. And then, now here's the third step. You got to talk to other people. I've discovered the truth of this, that this is not, see, once again, this is where we fall short. I've had people say, okay, I'll admit it. I'll talk to God. I'm done. I want to be clear on something. God's word tells us over and over again that we need one another. Why does he say confess to one another? And it says, so that you may be healed. What a crazy, amazing notion. God even said that when you and I talk to each other, healing comes. When you don't talk to each other, healing doesn't come. Well, that's fine. Then I'll talk to my mate. And that's a really okay idea. But here's why it's just okay. Some of you are dumping everything on your mate. And there is no one human being that can handle this all. And I'm going to tell you something. You're unfair. I believe it's mean and cruel to just dump on one person. Because no one person can handle that all. I mean, I have, especially guys, well, I'll talk to my wife. She's the only one I trust. And I get that. And how sad that is that that's all you have. because you need other people in your life. Once again, we're becoming a world that is alone and disengaging, and it is so unbelievably unhealthy. What we're doing and what we're about is so absolutely a good thing. Over and over again, God's word tells us of how to live life, how to do these things. And one of the things is you come clean with yourself, with God, and with one or two other people. I'm not talking about opening up to the whole world around you, but a couple other people in your life to say, here's what's going on. You know, it's interesting that, again, David, Psalm 32, look what happens. He says, what a joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those who record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed my sins to you. That's David talking. And he's not the only one, because God also illustrated the importance of his confession to a human being as well. You remember the prophet Nathan. I mean, he had to say what he was going through in front of a whole lot of people, really, an entire nation. And that's how he started to get better. Can you say amen to that? So I want to be clear. This is not going to happen till you start opening up and revealing what's going on inside and come clean with the hurt and woundedness. Now, step two, the second part of this. And there's a number of steps we're going to go through over the next several weeks. But here, this is a big one. Release those who have hurt you. You know, you and I cannot get emotionally healthy as long as we're bitter, resentful, and unforgiving. Here's an interesting question. Do you want to get well or do you want to get even? I think more people want to get even than they want to get well. I think the fact is this kind of comes down to there's a lot of ways we could frame this question, but I want it to be so simple. A lot of us live life because we really do want to get even. We want to, I mean, you cannot get emotionally healthy. You will not get emotionally healthy as long as there's bitterness, resentfulness, unforgiveness. See, here's something I've learned. You can do one, but not both. You can get even, or you can get well, but you can't get even and get well. It just doesn't work. It seems to me either you're going to choose the low road or the high road. I present this to people every week of my life, challenging them, which highway do you want to get on? You know, which road do you want to travel on? You want to go the low or you want to go the high? Do you want to get even or do you want to get well? Woundedness, wounded hearts, wounded people are only healed because they are willing to forgive. That is the secret to success. It tells us in Ephesians 4, 31, 32, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other. Be kind. I'm writing a book. The secret to relational success, be kind. End of book. The other day I was talking to a couple and they were just, I mean, they're just going through all kinds of stuff. And I've been walking this journey with them for quite a while and just came to this kind of interesting moment in our discussion. And I just said, I'm going to challenge you guys, both of you, with something. We're going to try an experiment. Okay, what is it? Okay, here it is. Homework assignment. I want you, husband, to be kind to your wife for 1 week. And wife, I want you to be kind to your husband for 1 week. And that's all you can do is be kind to each other. And we defined what that was, right? I mean, I think you could imagine, I hope you could imagine what it means to be kind. If you're not sure, it's in the dictionary. Look it up. And they did that and came back. And I love what he said to me. I said, so how did it go? Did you do your homework? He looked at me and he said, Steve, as simple as that was the most revolutionary, insightful, unbelievable word advice that you gave us. It more than worked. We haven't had that good of a week in a long time. He said, and this guy's a smart guy. He said, why didn't I think of that? Well, you pay me the big bucks, man. I mean, how simple that is, right? Now, there's a lot of dynamics to that, but the Word of God tells us how critically important that is to be kind to each other, tender-hearted. Wow, there it is, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ forgave you. We're going to land a little bit more on forgiveness, but I want you to understand God knows what you've been through. God understands your hurt. God gets it. And he said, okay, let me help you get on the other side of this, and here's how this is going to happen. You forgive the people who have hurt you because you will never be healthy. It will not happen emotionally for you until you release the unforgiveness and admit that there is unforgiveness, because you're not going to be okay. And once again, we hide and carry around anchors. You need to let it go. You cannot get on with life as long as unforgiveness weighs you down and stinks the place up. If you want to get on with life, then you must forgive. And it isn't for the other person, it's for you. It's for you. I mean, holding on to these hurts prevents you from moving on in life, from getting forward. It prevents you from enjoying life. I can see it in people when it looks like, have you ever met someone just kind of looks like, you know, they're not really having fun? Hardly ever. And what you can find probably behind that is just exactly what we're talking about. Because a lot of people just really feel like, because of what's going on, they don't know what to do. You need to give up on your right to get even. You need to give up on it because it's not that they deserve it. You know, it's not really an issue of they deserve it. It's because you want to move forward. You want to become healthy. And the fact is that you have to learn to let it go. And letting it go means forgiving what the person did. And they're not getting away with anything. When you forgive them doesn't mean that they're getting away or somehow being excused. We're going to talk more about that. It's kind of a crazy idea, but, you know, when you hold on to your hurt, then all you're doing is remembering that they hurt you. And here's what someone said to me. Well, as long as I remember, then it feels like I'm still hurting them. As long as I remember what they did, I somehow can still get them. And I'm going, man, do you really believe that? Yes. I said, no. My guess is they're not even aware of what's going on right now. You're the one suffering, not them. You're the one that is in pain, not them. But I want you to know something. God sees your hurt. He knows that you faced injustice and prejudice and racism and rejection and injustice, unfairness. God knows all of that. Can you say amen to that? Matter of fact, you know, I love Scripture. You know what it says? Scripture tells us that he has recorded our troubles and has kept a list of our tears. Every time you cry a tear, God records it. King James says he collects it in a bottle. Every time you cried over the pain and suffering, every tear that you have shed, God keeps a record of it. That's how much God loves you. He sees the tears dropping down your eyes. Listen, Romans tells us, never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you're honorable. Do all you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the Scripture says, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. Okay, now let me say something that's hard to some of you. Here is where this comes down to a core issue. You don't trust God. What do you mean? I do trust God. No, you don't. I have walked this journey with literally thousands of people. And I come back to the fact when someone says, I can't let go, what you're really saying is you don't trust God to take care of you. You don't trust God to settle the issue for you. You don't trust God to deal with the person for you. When you hold on to it, what you're really saying is, God, you're okay some of the time, but I need to take care of this for me. And so the fact is, I don't know that you really understand. I don't know that you really care. I don't know that you really see what I've been through. And the longer you hold on to it, the farther you move away from God, and you are communicating a core message. You don't trust God. And I've met people that I have spoken this into their lives who have walked with God for 30 and 40 and 50 years. And you would look at them and you would think, you trust God with everything. You are a saint. And yet you uncover some pretty amazing things because of what we try to hide. And the fact is, we really don't trust God. Because for some of you, the first step, even before anything else, is to say, God, I really trust you. I really trust you. God, you forgave me of my wrongs, my failures, even though I didn't deserve it. I need your forgiveness. The only way you have a future, the only way you move forward is because God has forgiven you. It's not your job to make things right. It's not your job to fix everything. You can't. You need to give it to God. So we need to face our problems, face our responsibility, and we need to earnestly desire to want to get healed. Scripture tells us that each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. The Word of God is telling us we must be willing to forgive those involved in our past hurts and problems, and we must be willing to forgive ourselves. If you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. That is scary stuff. And here's an interesting thought. If you can't forgive yourself, this applies. If you're unable to forgive yourself, then the Word says, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Unforgiveness is a bad thing. And you know, it's really challenging, isn't it? Because when you've really been hurt, when you've been through a lot of tragedy, it's hard to let it go. But the Word of God is telling you, you have no choice. Now, we'll talk more about this, so let me just qualify. Forgiveness is not reconciliation all the time. I'm not saying that you forgive and then you have to hang out with somebody. I'm talking just about forgiveness right now. And some of you need to forgive somebody in your life, and some of you need to forgive yourself. The only way. And then you got to ask the Holy Spirit to help you gain insight to your hurts and let Him show you how to pray and how to be healed. I love Romans. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And now He searches the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You see a minute of that? You and I are starting a journey together. It starts today. And that is a journey of emotional health. It is a journey of redemption. It is a journey of healing. It is a journey of deliverance. I invite you to walk this with me. Because I believe at the end of this, some miracles are going to take place. I believe at the end of this, some of you are going to be set free. And it's time. Some of you have been going around the mountain too many times. It's time to cut the chains. It's time to release the anchors and start walking as God wants you to walk. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we start this journey together. We start, Lord God, with the first steps, that it is our prayer, Lord, would lead to the miraculous divine intervention of God in our lives. With the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, the dunamis of God, Lord, busting us free, breaking chains, releasing anchors, bringing your deliverance to us. Lord, I believe that this is the beginning of a journey kind of like Israel, where you called us out of slavery. You called Israel out of Egypt, and you said, I have something for you. I have a promise. I have a promise for you. But as with Israel, as with us, you said there's a premise to this. There are things that we have to do, things that need to take place. And that first step is to acknowledge that we are wounded, that we are hurting, that this is in us. I want you to stop with your heads bowed. I want you to ask the Spirit of God, Lord, reveal any hurt in me. Reveal unforgiveness. Reveal resentment. Reveal bitterness. Reveal shame. And just let it come to the surface. Just ask the Spirit of God to help you. Right now. This is ministry. Your ministry with God. Take advantage of it, because there is something present here right now in the Spirit of God. Let it bubble up to the surface. Let it rise. About just this moment of privacy in a sanctuary like this. I want you to be able to admit and acknowledge, I do have this in me, and I'm willing to declare it to myself and to God. I want you to do that just by raising your hand where you are. And by a raised hand, you're saying, I have this going on. I acknowledge it. Just raise your hand. That's all I'm going to ask you to do today. Acknowledge it. Declare it right now. I have it. It's in me. Raise your hand. Go and put the other hand up. Almost kind of like the idea of I surrender, God. It's a place that we come to just physically. Just kind of feels good to just unfold your arms and just kind of become vulnerable with your hands up saying, okay, wow, this is kind of vulnerable right now, God. I am now saying, yeah, it's here. It's in me. I've been hurt. Lord God, I pray for the courage that this is a huge first step. For some of us, we're still resistant. We really haven't cleaned the slate. And even now we're struggling. So I pray, God, for a breakthrough, a first step, just lifting our hand. And I pray for that brother in this place here who I pray, God, it just bubbles up in him and he can take the first step. I pray his hands will come up. Thank you that your Spirit speaks to us, talks to us, and loves us. And Lord, we want to come close to you. The answer in all of this, first and foremost, is you. And so, Lord, we're going to take that next step and come close to you. Every one of us coming close to you.